our first reading, which is going to prepare to set our first scene. And that reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And Kirsty's going to read that for us.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Okay, so Mary is in her house, and all of a sudden she's just busy doing her own thing, and all of a sudden the angel Gabriel appears, and as we can see, that's quite a scene for angel Gabriel to appear. Mary, can you show us your best scared face? That's good, very good, great, brilliant. Now, you're obviously scared, so Gabriel is like, okay, don't be afraid. You don't need to be worried. You've found favour with God, he says. And that's amazing news. He says you're going to have a baby, and you're going to give him the name Jesus, and he's going to be God's king. He's going to be the Son of God. Now, Mary is now not so much scared, but a bit confused. So, very good. This is great. This is acting career coming up here. Mary is confused. She says, how is this going to happen? This can't be possible. But Gabriel again reassures her and says, this is how, by God's power, you will give birth to God's son. Now can you show us your happiest kind of wow face? Yay, very pleased. Right, so Mary is like, okay, this is great. I am God's servant. I'll do exactly what he says. And then the angel Gabriel leaves. And then Mary is left very happy, but very surprised at the same time that she is going to have a baby. Okay, so that's the first scene. We've got Mary is told she's going to have a baby. Angel Gabriel comes with that message, and they did great. We now need our second reading, and Steve's coming to read this one. This is from Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25.
And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
So Joseph, he gets the news, and he gets the news that Mary is pregnant, and it's not his. So he's a bit confused. So Joseph thinks, well, I do love Mary, and I need to do something that's gonna honour her, but also get us out of this tricky situation. So he thinks quietly in their customs that he'll divorce her quietly, and so then he thinks, right, okay, I've settled on that. I'll have to sort it out in the morning. So then Joseph lies down and goes to sleep, and then Gabriel appears to him in a vision. And so Gabriel comes to him in a dream, explains the situation, says Mary is got the baby is God's son. Joseph doesn't need to worry. Mary's baby is going to be the fulfillment of God's prophecy. And the next morning, Joseph is convinced. So he gets up. And now, rather than being confused, he's not confused anymore. He's like, right, I'm going to marry Mary. I'm still going to marry Mary because this is an amazing miracle. And not long before then, Jesus is due to be born. Mary and Joseph have to make their way all the way to Bethlehem from Nazareth because the governor decides he wants to count all the people. Mary and Joseph have to head to Bethlehem from Nazareth, and they go on the donkey.
On a dusty road, not to keep on rolling onward with your precious load. Been a long time, little donkey, through the winter's night. Don't give up now, little donkey. Ring out those bells tonight, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Follow that star tonight, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Little donkey had a
Mary and Joseph and the donkey make it to Bethlehem, and Mary's heavily pregnant and they're really tired after making a long journey, and although they probably didn't stay in something like a hotel that we imagine now or an inn, we're still going to set that scene because it's well known.
Sweet on earth.
We now have another scene to set, and Catherine's going to read for us from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see that this thing has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Lots of shepherds, and they're out on in a field on a hill outside Bethlehem, just minding their own business, looking after their sheep, maybe watching the stars, having a bit of a chat, chilling out. And then, all of a sudden, the angels appear. And so they appear in the sky, and they're quite scary. We know that because Mary met Gabriel and she was quite scared. Now there's loads of them. So shepherds, I need to see if your scared faces are as good as Mary's. So please, can you show everybody your scared face if you're a shepherd? Excellent. Some good scared faces in there. We've got some scared sheep as well. Now that's clever. We've got those. And the angels say, "Don't be afraid again, because the Saviour has been born, the King, the one who was promised. He's been born in Bethlehem." And they say, "Look, go and find him. Leave your sheep, go down into the town and find him. He's worth meeting." And then as quickly as the angels appeared, they disappear. And the shepherds are like, "Wow!" And then they decide, right, we're going to have to go and find the baby Jesus. So when the shepherds arrive, they find it exactly as they were told by the angels. The baby is lying in the manger. Jesus has been born. He is the King. We're going to sing another carol. It says, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Yeah.
next reading then is from Matthew chapter 2. Hannah's going to come and read this for us. It's Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. All Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what it has written, for you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still.
We've got kings, we've got Herod. Now, Herod, understandably, being the king of the region, was not a happy man when he heard that another king had been born. Not very happy. He was the ruler. He knew nothing about another king. So he's not happy. And some of his advisors say, well, there was a bit written in this old book in the scriptures that say that there is a king going to be born in Bethlehem rather than in Jerusalem. Maybe if we send these guys to Bethlehem, they might find him. And if they find him, maybe they could come back and tell you where he is. So Herod thinks, oh, that's a good idea. Quite pleased with his advisors and pleased with himself. So he says to them, right, you go and you head to Bethlehem. And if you find him, tell me where he is and then I can go and worship him as well. Come sit down, great. Go that way, Athena, quick. Follow them that way, good lass. Christmas in the Nativity story, we find that God promised and planned the birth of his son, and that Jesus' birth was unique, that Jesus' birth was amazing, and there are lots of things to learn from it, but I just want to spend a few minutes now just giving you something to think about really leading up to this Christmas, following on from what we've thought about. And the big question I want to ask you is, and it's this, are you ready for Christmas? We all get asked that, don't we? Somebody somewhere, probably now at the beginning of November, asks us, are we ready for Christmas? Now, this year, I surprised myself in the sense that I'm nearly ready for Christmas now. Usually, I'm not ready for Christmas till Christmas Eve because I've not made it to any shops, I haven't bought anything online, I've not got anything organised. My wife's organised and I'm not. But this year, I've got one thing left to get. So I mean, it might end up being Christmas Eve again, but I've only got one thing left to get, so I think I've done a bit better. But when we get asked that question, and it does seem to get earlier and earlier every year, we know what people are really asking, aren't they? Things like this. If you're a kid, have you written your Christmas list? I imagine you probably wrote your Christmas list in January, ready for Christmas next year. And you'll write next year's Christmas list in January. People say, well, have you put your tree up? Have you got your lights on the outside of your house? Have you made them LED so they cost less electricity this year? Have you found a box of decorations that you buried in the loft last year? Have you bought a turkey? Or if you don't like turkey, the alternative, whatever you're having. Have you sorted out which family members are coming for dinner? Which ones you hope aren't coming for dinner? Have you got your wrapping paper? Have you stocked up your fridge and your freezer with food? Have you eaten a festive bake from Greg's? No. Have you pulled out the Christmas jumper? I know some people are already wearing Christmas jumpers and they've found their Christmas jumpers. Are you wearing a Christmas jumper? Have you got it ready for the Christmas party? There's so many things to do. I've only listed, what, 8, 9 things there, but there seem to be hundreds of things to do every Christmas, and it seems to get more and more and more. So much so that actually I think for a lot of us, really deep down, Christmas ends up being quite stressful rather than fun. There's too many things to do, too many people to see, too many things to organise and fit in. For some of us, Christmas becomes a real heartache because actually it's a time when we reflect on things we've lost, whether that's people or other things. We sit around the Christmas dinner table and we think, is it all worth this? Sometimes the brokenness of the world is so right in front of our eyes that Christmas is hard to enjoy. Maybe there's dysfunctional relationships. Maybe there's always arguing at Christmas. Maybe we always feel discontent at Christmas. Maybe it's the debt or the unwanted gifts or the contrast between people who get loads and people who seem to have nothing. And Christmas time then doesn't really feel like the time of joy and peace that all the adverts and all the Christmas carols even would have us believe that it is, because it's not our experience. We have to look around and think of the wars that are going on in the world, the redundancy that's happening, the crime, the corrupt politics, the rising cost of living, the family breakdown, the bullying, and even our own personal failures. None of those things magically disappear at Christmas. So I guess the question is, are all the adverts and are all the Christmas carols unrealistic? Or is the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas that comes in the birth of a baby boy, can it really contain joy? And does it contain genuine peace? And can it give a concrete hope? Back at the first Christmas, God was getting ready to show the entire world his son. And he announced it to shepherds on a hill with a singing angelic choir. He put a star in the sky and wise men from another land followed it all the way there till they reached Bethlehem and found the baby Jesus. Lovely story. But what difference does it make to us? We're talking about something that happened a couple of thousand years ago. Does it really make a difference to you and me sat in Hardwick in 2022? Can that same baby, who the angel said was going to bring joy and peace for us? Well, I'd like to say the answer is yes and take a couple of minutes to explain how. We know, don't we, the world is broken. We see that. We know it's broken. And we believe as Christians that that's because we have a heart problem. We've rebelled against God and the world that he made is now broken. But rather than God just being done with his creation, he promised that he would rescue his creation, that he'd provide a solution to the problem, and he'd provide that solution by sending a person who would fix the problem, who would bring us back into a relationship with God. That's why the angels sing, don't they, and say to the shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared and they praised God and they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to whom his favour rests. The baby lying in the manger, we are told, is the source of joy and peace with God. A restored relationship with God. See, the message of Christmas is really good news because it means that you and I, even though we have rebelled against God, can be rescued, can know him, can be forgiven. That Jesus came to earth for that purpose. His name even means God saves. And he came to earth to rescue people. He was born in a humble home. He didn't come with a massive entourage like you see famous pop stars do now. He didn't have a dedicated TikTok channel. He didn't have targeted advertising on telly. He didn't have interviews to show the world how great he was. He came quietly and he came humbly. He didn't arrive in luxury and comfort. He was born in poverty. Here is the Son of God, the King of the universe, weak and small, dependent on the care of his mother and his stepfather. And it is an amazing thing to grasp that God didn't leave us to our own devices, but he came down because he loves us and cares for us. He knows our pain. He knows our weakness, and he is compassionate towards us. He was a human being. He was hungry, tired, sick, sad, lonely, and tempted. He was God, but he was able to calm a storm with words from his mouth and even raise people from the dead. Ultimately, Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, would 33 years later go to the cross and die there to pay the price for our sins so that we could live forever. He then rose again to prove that it was all true. Jesus offers you and I a relationship with God, a relationship of peace, a relationship of joy, a relationship of hope. He offers us to be friends with God rather than enemies with God. So here's the question I want to ask you, or a few questions. The first one is, will you be ready for Christmas? Not are you ready, but will you be ready for Christmas? Not in terms of the things I mentioned, not in terms of the food and the presents and the lists and all that kind of stuff. But will you be ready for the real Christmas? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Will you be honest about yourself? Will you admit that actually you're far from perfect? I know I am, and I need Jesus to rescue me. Will you accept that forgiveness is on offer, and it's on offer in Jesus and Jesus alone? The God who made you and the God who loves you has rescued you. And will you come to know the peace and the joy and the hope that only he can offer? It's not just a nice story about a baby with lots of characters, and the kids all look great, didn't they? But it is more than just a nice story. Christmas is about God saying to you, I love you. And here's my gift to you, my one and only son. It cost me everything, but all you have to do is trust me. Will you trust me? The only way to really know and enjoy the true meaning of Christmas is to trust Jesus. So in amongst everything that happens in the next 2 or 3 weeks, will you stop and seriously consider Jesus for a few minutes? Because if you do, it could change your life. We're going to sing one last Christmas carol, which is Joy to the World. Stand and we'll sing Joy to the World.